You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudat. On Friday, the Idaho Shakespeare Festival will premiere the musical Ain't Misbehavin'. This Tony Award-winning show focuses on the big band jazz music of Thomas Fats Waller. Our morning edition host, George Prentice, got a chance to sit down with Murray Horwitz, who created the musical. Let's take a listen.
My gosh, where to begin? So let's see. We browse the NPR website, and you'll find all kinds of monikers. Oh, playwright. Let's see. Opera lyricist. Certainly commentator. Film expert. Podcaster, of course. One of our favorites is Question of the Day. He was director of cultural programming at NPR when something called Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me was born. Our favorite is when NPR introduces him as the inimitable.
Inimitable. It's easy for you to say.
And did I mention the Tony, the Peabody, and goodness knows what else is
enough.
On his shelf?
Enough. Stop. Just, nothing but good luck.
And he was a clown, a professional clown. How is
yes,
that?
Yes, indeed.
Up top, I'd like to ask you about something. This week on PBS, we are watching the Mark Twain Prize for the Kennedy Center. It's airing on PBS now. I know it took place earlier. You were very much a part of the creation of the Mark Twain Prize.
I was.
Yeah.
And my collaborators claim that I named it, which I don't remember, but if they say so, that's fine with me.
I'm excited that Jon Stewart is this year's honoree, and the first thing I'm thinking of is The Daily Show is a close cousin, right, to Wait, Wait.
I guess. Actually, I think The Daily Show and Wait, Wait started around the same time. When you start Wait, Wait, you could look it up, but I think 1997. And I remember the kind of impact, the éclat of The Daily Show because, you know, in the 1970s and 80s and into the 90s, it was a kind of, it wasn't a golden age of satire. It's not
right.
Like we're living in a broadcast satire, especially. It's relieved a little bit by some of the late night shows, especially some of the sketches that Johnny Carson did, and of course by Saturday Night Live.
That said, how many generations have told you that that's where they get their news, Wait, Wait, or The Daily Show?
No, it's true. And to me, it's a responsibility that we as comedians and comedy writers, which is, as you mentioned, part of what I do, have to take seriously. Because one of the things I learned on the circus, which is where I started my career, on the Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus as a clown. Good, you're laughing.
Oh, God.
Well, one of the things I learned was you got to do what you do with integrity. Actually, you don't have to. There are people who go for cheap laughs. There are people who use... I always paraphrase what Woody Guthrie wrote in his autobiography, Bound for Glory, when he says, I don't like music that tears people down. I like music that tears people up. And the same thing is true of comedy. It's easy to use comedy as a destructive tool, to use ridicule in the wrong way. But if you're doing what you do with integrity, as Jon Stewart does and did, then it's a force for good. And especially when you're doing satire and you're the Onion or you're, as you say, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, or The Daily Show, John Oliver, you realize you are a primary sort of news source for people. And so you have to make sure what you do with honesty and integrity.
When you and I were young, I don't know about you, but I was just hoping somebody was listening when I was on public radio. Can we talk about, I can't get over some of my colleagues, significantly younger, but so much better, and what they do and how they do what they do on so many platforms, and the space that public radio in general, NPR in particular, is in right now, which is essential.
It's a good adjective. I think essential is right. It's a precious national resource and local resource. Mm-hmm. You know, stations like Boise State Public Radio. I mean, the service that you do in your community is unhappily probably unique. Years ago, there were other outlets and agencies that fulfilled the same function, but increasingly we find ourselves isolated. So it really is essential and needs to be supported as such. I can't get over it either. I work with young colleagues at, to state my politics, I'm 72 years old, right? So I work with people who are a third my age, who are younger than my children, and they are whip smart. They are so quick, and they're so dedicated, and it gives one faith in the future.
Can I assume that the tone of, of the prizes you have, the Tony, right, for Ain't Misbehavin'.
Yeah, it really is a great honor, and I hope people will be able to see why. I always tell people, we didn't win the Tony so much as Fats Waller won it. Ain't Misbehavin' is an exposition of the comedy and music of Thomas Fats Waller, who is one of the great exemplars of the golden age of comedy that included W.C. Fields and Gracie Allen and George Burns and Groucho Marx and the Marx Brothers in the 1920s, 30s, and 40s. But he was also one of the main forces in the swing era. He's one of the greatest jazz pianists of all time. And people will see at the Idaho Shakespeare Festival why he was worthy of a Tony Award. Actually, there's been no film of Ain't Misbehavin'. There was a TV
show. You got the Emmy, yeah.
And so, except for the Oscar, Ain't Misbehavin' as a project has won an Emmy, a Grammy, and a couple of Tony Awards. So one of these days, I hope somebody makes a movie out of it, win an Oscar, and we'll have the famous EGOT. We'll hit the Grand Slam. You're right. The Tony, in some strange way, means the most. It's one of everybody recognizes it. Maybe not so many as recognize the Emmy or the Oscar.
That's a really tall hill to climb, right?
It is. Yeah. And when you say people, they introduce me as Tony Award winner, I go, So it.
Yeah.
I have to confess, it means something. Now, the Peabody Awards that I've gotten are great and to be cherished, and not everybody gets those either. But yeah, the Tonys, it's kind of rare. Not too many people get them.
So my memory's a little fuzzy, but I saw the show in 1978. It had just opened, and it was either President Carter. I remember Secret Service was all over the theater, and it was even.
Oh, you were there that night?
Was it him or Miss Lillian or both? Did they come?
No. I don't think Miss Lillian.
Because
was there.
Secret Service was all over the theater. Yes, I was there that night.
I'll tell you two great stories about that.
Yeah.
I remember that night vividly because President Carter and Mrs. Carter, the governor of the state of New York, Hugh Carey, the mayor of the city of New York, Abe Beame, they were all there together. I mean, if a bomb had gone off, the government of New York would have, collapsed.
Yeah.
And when the Secret Service stopped, we'd see these guys all looking like they came from Decatur, Illinois, real clean cut, wearing these like Robert Hall suits. And they had these lapel buttons that were just blank. And you'd go up to them and I'd say, "Are you Secret Service?" And they'd stare off into the distance and say, "We're not allowed to say." So that was my favorite story. But the other one was I remember being able to introduce President Carter to Nell Carter, and I said, "President Carter, is your namesake Nell Carter?" But I remember these young Secret Service guys, they were all guys back then, backstage, and we were just like, "Wow, you're Secret Service?" We were so impressed, and they'd say, "Wow, we've never been to a Broadway show before. This is great. Are all Broadway shows like this?" And so it was a mutual awestruck society.
Very cool. Well, I want to get you out on this. I remember when I first went to New York in the early 60s, and people were telling me, "Oh, Broadway's nothing. You should have been here in the 30s or the 40s. And of course, Broadway was everything. And I think about the cycles that Broadway has endured and weathered, and whether you like a Disneyfied musical or whether you like an original homegrown drama from a small black box theater somewhere, it's still a destination.
Maybe my favorite moment in life is when you're in a Broadway theater and they've pumped up the air conditioning because they've got to turn the blowers off during the performance. And so you're sitting there, it's cool, literally, and the lights, and that moment when the house lights go down and maybe there's an overture and the orchestra strikes up, or if it's a straight play, all of a sudden the curtain goes up. I mean, the sense of anticipation and wonder and enthusiasm is just, it's magical. And it happens, I think, in every live theater performance. People will be able to see at the Idaho Shakespeare Festival when they go to see Ain't Misbehavin', that same kind of moment. And there's just something about being in the same room with a bunch of talented people who are just giving it their all for you that you don't really get in a movie, you don't get in other kinds of performances.
Murray, you are going to adore the amphitheater. Idaho Shakespeare Festival is as good as it gets, and it is set among spectacular foothills. You know, the sun goes down, the lights come up, and I'm just thinking of the folks who will experience Ain't Misbehavin' for the first time.
Listen, I've already seen the pictures online, and I can't wait to be there. And I'm really excited because Idaho was the last state in the Union that I visited and spent the night in. I've spent at least one night because, you know, I was on the circus. I went along, went through, did Ain't Misbehavin' in Alaska. So I've been to all 50 states. Idaho was the last one.
Murray Horowitz, broadcaster extraordinaire, will bring us, by way of the Idaho Shakespeare Festival, the Tony Award-winning Ain't Misbehavin'. And he brings us so much and continues to. By the way, your new project, Freedom Riders, right? Is that based on what I think it is, of the 1961?
It is.
Freedom Riders?
Freedom Rider singular.
Freedom Rider. Okay.
And yeah. It just opened last weekend at Crossroads Theater in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And this was one of the most gratifying and weirdest commissions I ever got as a playwright. In 2014, Ricardo Kahn, who's a wonderful director and co-founder of one of the leading African-American regional theaters in the country, the Tony Award-winning Crossroads Theater, took me to lunch in New York and said, I have it in mind to do a play about the Freedom Rides. He says, I want to do some of the Freedom Rides, and my idea was to do a fictionalized account of the Freedom Rides and commission four playwrights, each of whom will create a character or characters on the bus, a young person on the bus. I, of course, being a man of a certain age, remembered the Freedom Rides very well. My parents were kind of activists when my father was on the board of the local chapter of CORE, the Congress of Racial Equality, which had sponsored the rides. I said to Ricardo, I said, you know, four playwrights working on one play. I said, you're not going to have a live specimen left in the room after a day. But we all got along very well. The world premiere production is a co-production between another Shakespeare Festival, the Alabama Shakespeare Festival, where the play opened in April, I think, in Montgomery. And that's a sign of the way things, I would argue, have improved. If you can imagine a play about the Freedom Rides, and it's called Freedom Rider, singular, by the way, the play about the Freedom Rides opening in Montgomery, Alabama, and being very well received. And now we've opened in New Brunswick, and I hope the reception is every bit as good. But it's a tremendously gratifying project, as you can imagine, and I think it's very much needed right now in the present moment.
Keep it coming. Murray Horowitz.
So
can I call you Murray now?
Yes, of course.
What a treat. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time this morning.
The pleasure's all mine, George. As you may be able to relate to this, I've never seen a microphone I don't like.
Thank you so very, very much. And I have a lovely time here in Boise.
Thanks again.
That was our Morning Edition host, George Prentiss, speaking with Murray Horowitz about Ain't Misbehavin', which premieres at the Idaho Shakespeare Festival on Friday. And we should note that Boise State Public Radio is a sponsor of the show.